Now time for a very Japanese roguelite edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to a friend, which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who, I was going to say hits on 19, but like that almost sounds like, hits on 19 when playing blackjack, Basher.
I mean, my girlfriend was young. Well, she wasn't that young. Jesus. yeah.
That's all he's got. For once, he is speechless. We are here to talk about two games this time because I played a game that Basher will never play, and he played a game that I just didn't play.
That's not
I'd
true.
Like
I played your game before. Seven years ago.
Sure. I'm going to. No. We're going to talk about Forza Horizon 6 and Black Jacket. But before that, did you know you can let us know what you think about Forza Horizon 6 or Black Jacket? GPopFans@gmail.com. Always going to rep that one. Also, if you're new with us or you're returning and you haven't given us a like or a rate, I don't say like, you can't like it. Give us a rate on your favorite podcast service. It really does help.
You can like it. You can like it if you want to. Go ahead and like it.
But where? Where would you like it?
Well, in your hearts.
Oh, okay. Like it in your heart, please. That feels weird asking for that. All right, Forza Horizon. We'll start with Forza Horizon 6. No offense to Black Jacket, but Forza Horizon is kind of one of the bigger games on the planet right now. I have played every single Forza game, including Forza Horizon. And I remember on this very show, we had debates about Forza Horizon. Let's just talk about this. It's 150 gigs, first of all, which really sucks. But the write-up for this thing is ridiculous. So I'm just going to read the synopsis of the first paragraph here. So, discover the breathtaking landscapes of Japan in over 550 real-world cars and become a racing legend at the Horizon Festival. Start your journey as a tourist and explore a world full of hit music and Japanese culture. Build a valley estate, acquire awe-inspiring homes, and display your prized collection in a fully customizable garage. Cruise the roads with your friends and join car meets around Japan, unleash your imagination with Event Lab and build together in Horizon Collab. Your journey to become a Horizon legend starts now. Japan awaits. It's available on PC, Xbox Series.
To buy your game. Stop it.
Like, X and S.
Begging at this point.
And it is Xbox Play Anywhere, which is pretty standard now for all Microsoft stuff. And this does also feature... how long to beat? I was on the wrong page. Of 37 hours completionist of 60. So I've got about 40 hours in it. That's the only reason I said that, because I'm like kind of like right in the middle. So I have not completed the main campaign, but I'm pretty close. So Forza Horizon 6. I'm going to talk about it here.
I have some very important questions about this.
I'm ready for it.
All right, so first off, do you press right sugar to go?
I can't remember. Yes.
All right. That's the game I played before. All right, gotcha. Go ahead.
And I am the person, I use the back panels for shifting. I think that's the optimal setup. I've played this on an Xbox controller and a Direwolf 4. I think that the impulse triggers are quite good. And there you
go.
Dead
Wolf?
I believe that's what it's called. It's called a Dead Wolf 4, I think. Iron Wolf. What did I say?
I believe it's a Dire Wolf.
Oh, Direwolf. Yeah, no, Direwolf. That is correct. The Fly Digi Direwolf 4. Great controller. there you go. I'm burying the lead here. Forza Horizon 6. Let's talk about it. So, Basher.
What?
How do you feel about cars?
I mean, I got one.
How do you feel about Japan?
I haven't been yet.
How do you feel about driving a car in Japan?
That sounds stressful, to be honest with you. I'd rather not.
I saw Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, okay? I know what's up.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't do that. So it seems like I can't be driving out there and got Dom behind me going like, tell me about family. Like, it's seems stressful.
People forget there actually was a Forza Horizon Fast and Furious tie-in. It was like a standalone game. It was kind of funny. So anyways. I'm barely lead. So Forza Horizon 6, it's Forza Horizon. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, like, oh my God, this is the revolution that is Forza Horizon. It's not. The big one for this is it's Japan, obviously. That was the kind of break glass moment of everybody wanted it in Japan. They finally have done it. And it's also the longest, I believe, that we've been in between Forza Horizon releases. Because I used to be on like a TikTok for a while of 1 year would be Forza Motorsport, 1 year would be Horizon. And I then, yeah, starting in on Xbox Series X and S, like it took forever for Motorsport to come out. So it was kind of just Horizon every other year. But I believe this was 3 years from, maybe even four. From Forza Horizon 5. And so, like, I've always been a Forza Horizon fan from the original. And part of that was is that that original Forza Horizon is somebody who was a Forza Motorsport stan. Like, I was like, I don't know about this one, guys. 2021, so it's actually been 5 years. Wow, 5 years between releases. That's a long time. So the magic of Forza Horizon for me has always just been I like where I'm at. I like to drive cars, and I like to just relax and have a good time. There is absolutely nothing here that is new, that is going to just like blow your mind. You still have barn finds. You still have billboards. There is new. Now you have Japanese, not mannequins. What's the word? You hit these things that are Japan focused. Like one's like a.
That sounds offensive. You hitting Japanese people?
No, you hit their like there's like a bowl of ramen. It's like a life size bowl of ramen, and you can hit that, and it's
the rice balls.
Yes, you can hit one of those too. Mascots, that's what they're called, mascots, to where like they've taken something from Japan and it's a mascot, and they've turned it into a very large version that you hit to collect. It is crazy, Forza
that's
Horizon.
That's nuts.
Now, where this game does stand out, it's Japan. And I think that is there's been arguments about there's not enough Japan in this game in terms of like the culture and things like that. And I think I can agree with that one. But this is the first time since the original Forza Horizon that I have enjoyed the map as much as I do. And I honestly was not a huge, like, so Forza Horizon 5 was in Mexico. And while I really liked that, it had a lot of awesome, like straightaways and a lot of big open land. And that's always fun in a Horizon game. But it was kind of bland, and like I'm not gonna go through every Forza game, but like that original Horizon is also something special, and I think the soundtrack and everything hits a lot better. I'm gonna say that Forza Horizon 6 is one of the better Horizons when it comes to the complete package. So when Forza Horizon comes together, the complete package is the soundtrack is there, the collectibles are there, the cars are there, the tracks are there. The showcase events are back and they're awesome. Like there's nothing here that is going to say, oh my god, this is brand new. I can't believe I'm playing this. However, if you like Forza Horizon, it's super strong. Now, that is the quickest 6-minute Forza Horizon review ever. And so I'm going to put it over to you and I'm going to say, ask me something about it. How could I convince you to play Forza Horizon 6? What do you have to see?
That's a good question. How can you convince me to play? Okay. I'm going to give me a moment. I'm trying to think of some questions that would make me want to play this game.
What if I told you you can race a Gundam?
See, you would think I would be into that.
What if I told you you can drive a little electric car at 100 miles an hour and deliver food?
See, that's actually kind of my speed. I'm not going to lie to you. Honestly, if I can go, can I go fishing?
No.
Okay.
Can I get out of the car?
Well, you don't need to get out of the car. Have you seen Fast and Furious? You can do everything inside the car.
You are the fishing pole.
I'm just saying, like, once you say Japanese, I'm like, oh, this is Boo getting real wacky with it. Okay. Honestly, graphics I'm in, map I'm in.
Yeah, I will say
actually. When it comes to the map, I do have a question. So, like, you're saying you prefer this map overall. One of my issues in previous Horizon games was just kind of you gave me this big area and I get to drive in it. So what? Like, and by that, I mean, it's like, okay, I'm driving through trees and grass and dirt. I don't care. Do I get the... outside, do I get like rural Japan and Tokyo to drive through?
You do. You get both. And honestly, that's a great call because I think when I originally started this game, I was like, oh man, this is just in Japan. And so it's like, I was just picturing Japan, you know, the city. And it's kind of empty, actually. And I think that was a deliberate decision because like who wants to play a driving game and you're just going to crash into cars all the time? Like, that's right, not, that's not fun. And so it strikes that while it's in Japan, I don't think it takes enough advantage of being Japanese. Like, it's a Japanese light game. However, the location in terms of like space and feeling like I'm in Japan from a space and just sort of scope wise, it's really solid, because when you're in the city, it's a lot of short streets. It's a lot of just like quick turns, a lot of quick drifting. And then you've got the entire other end of it, which is in the mountains, and you've got longer roads and you've got more places to drift. And it's like, this is the most rudimentary and just like basic review ever of Forza Horizon, but like, I just want to drive cars, listen to cool music, and have fun. And that's what Forza Horizon does best. And I don't think they ever reached the original heights of the first one. And maybe it's because it was just the first one, but this is the closest it's become. And it is because of that yin and yang of like big open areas with, you know, sweeping roads that are, honestly, it's just a fun game to look at. Forza Horizon 5 looked good, but I don't know that it was ever fun to look at. Like, Mexico's not exactly, you know, it's big and open and it's vast, and that's cool to see, but this is cool. Yeah, this is cool to just see the differences. You know, I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Like, I buy the same Aston Martin every time. I buy the Lotus Elise. You know, maybe I'll buy a new car here and there. Maybe I'll get some in a wheel spin, and I'll drive that car for a little bit, and I get to an event and it's a rally event, so now I got to drive this rally car. Like, all that's there, but I just enjoy driving around Japan in an Aston Martin DB9 and just taking it in, finding all the roads. Like, it is a great Zen game for me. And I think the soundtrack is one of the stronger ones. So it's, yeah. So I kind of hijacked your question. None of that's probably going to get you to play the game, though.
No, I mean, not necessarily, because I've never been, my anti Forza rhetoric is never because the game's bad. It's because I don't feel like I have enough to do. Like, they're giving me enough to do, you know? So something is ridiculous as hitting giant rice balls. Cool. That helps me. It actually does. So give me my collectibles. Are there rewards for your collectibles? Does it reward your efforts for doing the silly stuff?
Yeah, like you do get experience and you get money and stuff like that, but it is not like, it's not gonna be the reason that you can get that, you know, that car. You know, like, you're not getting 10 right. grand every time. But there's 100 boards and there's 200 mascots. So like, definitely as you, and Forza Horizon's always funny in this way. It's like, when you first start the game, there's all this stuff to do. Like, you pull up your map and you got all these different icons, but you got all the boards, you've got all the streets you haven't gone down, because it keeps track of how many streets you've been down. It keeps track of how many boards that you have. Oh, sorry, there's 200 boards. So there's 400 things to hit on the road in Forza Horizon. Sometimes they're tucked away in a forest. Sometimes they're on a roof of a house. You have to figure out, how do I get my car up there? There's like an area that's like an airstrip, and there's some cool stuff in there. Like, there's some ramps and stuff you can go on there. Like, if you are a fan of just like exploring, I think this is one of the strongest Forza Horizons. But it does have that problem. Like, as you keep playing it, and as you start narrowing down those mascots and you start narrowing down those bonus boards, that's when it starts to become tedious. It's like, okay, there's not as much for me to do here because I've already done it. However, I still need to drive. This is actually the first time in a while, and I'm sure they've done this in another game, but I don't remember which one, is there is no cost to fast travel. The only thing that you have to do to fast travel is you've had to have traveled on that road before, and then you can fast travel to it whenever you want. And that's a really tricky thing, because before they would try to de-incentivize you fast traveling by charging you for it, because they want you to drive around in your car. But it's also like, okay, I've already done that. You're like, I really don't want to do that again. And it's a tough one, because I think for someone like you, I think you could get a very solid 9 out of 10 experience in 20 hours. But I think that for some people too, you could also get 100 hours out of this. And that's kind of the magic, but also the downfall of Forza Horizon, I guess, It's like you have to really like Forza Horizon to finish out that achievement list. And it does get redundant. You are kind of playing the same tracks over and over, but it's just fun, you know? Like, it's fun to drive cars in this environment. And I think that's, it sounds derivative and boring, but that's, it's fun to drive.
It's fun to drive, bro. But, okay, so, all right. I hear all of that. All right. Give me the, well, let's say I had a good friend who was a big fan of this series. We wanted to race together. Can we race together?
Of course.
And is it, more importantly, is it worth it? Is it just us in the thing? Like, is just driving about, or is it us doing things together?
And it can be both, yes.
Because I remember we played what was that game? I think it might have been a Need for Speed game. It was Need for Speed, right?
Yes.
Like, the idea of like running from cops together was, it works. Are there those type of highs and lows with the things you can do?
Need for Speed Unbound was what we played. That's right. So there's yes and no. You can exist in the world together, and it does bring over your progress. So for like your boards and stuff like that. So you can just exist in the same area. You can do events together. You can do the like sort of build your own space events. Like there's a lot of stuff that you can do in Forza Horizon, but it is not ever high stakes, I guess is the way to say it. It's very chill and it's very relaxed. So if you're looking for something like, it is not like Need for Speed Unbound where you are on sort of a track, like you were playing a mode and you're like, this is, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, you're going to go here. Like you could do that if you wanted to, if you sat down with your friend and like, hey, this is what we're going to do, but it is never going to force you to do that, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it's, I don't want to say it's like make your own fun, because it's not, but like it is it's not vast. It's not vast the amount of stuff you can do together, but you can just exist in the same space together too. So.
I'm not mad at this. I will give it a shot because I do like music wise. We're looking at music.
So
is it bring your own music, or do you have a soundtrack in this thing?
No, you can, but no. Forza Horizon's always sort of prided itself on its music, and so they always break it down into like Bass Arena, which is more like pop EDM kind of stuff. There's the I'm forgetting all the names of the radio stations now. There's Hospital Records, which is like classical sort of driving music. You've got the rock channel, which is more punk pop kind of thing. And then you have there's actually a all Japanese radio station in this one. So, which is, that's brand new for this franchise. Like I don't think they've ever like tailored a complete radio station to one of the games. Like I'm really racking my brain right now, and man, I don't think they've ever done that. So Horizon Pulse, which is your more kind of like dance music one, and then there's Horizon Wave, which is also new, and Horizon Wave is more of a synth wave music station. So just to give you a couple bands off of each one, Horizon XS, which is the punk rock one, we do have, let's see, 1OK Rock, Linkin Park, Rise Against, Witch Post. On Hospital Records, we've got Fred V, Hugh Hardy, Logistics, Metric. On Sub Pop, which is, I think this is the Japanese only one, so I don't know. La Luz, Fowls, Bully, Chai, Band of Horses. Interesting. Wave, we have Laserhawk, Leslie Young, Mitch Murder, The Midnight. On Pulse, we have Big Wild, Cut Copy, Mazalako, Shima. And then on Block Party, we have Gaggle, Early Mac, Hunger, Gold Digga, Public Enemy, and Stutz. So I don't know if any of those, you know, any of those, but those are kind of the radio stations that you have.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, I think I'm in. I watched someone play it in the background on the YouTubes at one point. It looks fun. I didn't know it took place in Japan. How deep do I have to go before I get the giant Gundam?
Not far. A couple hours.
Okay.
So it's, I think if you've ever been on the fence for Forza Horizon, I think this is the one. I think it's the most cohesive one. I think the location, anybody can have a good time with it. Like, what's funny is, like, I can't remember Forza Horizon 3 at all. Like, I do not remember even where that took place. Whereas, like, I remember Horizon 4 and 2 very vividly. So I think, yeah, I think that's fair to say that this is the one. 4 was Britain. So yeah, I'm just going to say, look, you've probably already played this. As a Forza fan, I'm a fan. This is not a shocking thing. You should play this game if you are a fan. You probably already are. But if you're on the fence, I do think this is one that you should hop into and just see if you like it.
I'm going to download it now for the Gundam. Also,
it's a fat one. It's like 150 gigs. It's so annoying, but it is. I mean, so
my only issue with the Gundam is it's light work. They could have dug deeper. Gurren Lagann, perhaps, for an anime, or even an angel from Evangelion, you know? Just like, there's just so many Gundams you can pick for. There's so many giant robots. Gundam is standard, is all I'm saying, guys. So for your sequel, I'm looking for better robots.
I don't know what any of those things are, but you can still, like, what other game can you race a Gundam in? Exactly. Forza Horizon 6. You should play it. Have a good time with it.
It's literally at least one.
So,
let's
talk about Black Jacket now. I know nothing about this game, so let me do the quick synopsis on it. The Black Jack-inspired roguelike deck builder where you gamble your way out of hell, supercharge your deck, and play impossible combos. That's all they have for the write-up. Available on Xbox Series X and S, PC, does have crossplay, and is available for, that's not what I want to say at all. How long to beat? We have a 6 hours and main and extras of 8 and a completionist of 29. Is this Balatro?
Is Balatro inspired?
Okay.
I think that. I gotta say, like, so you know why I picked this game. Like, it's
a roguelite.
It's very obvious. Yeah. I mean, like, it's all I need in life, honestly, just roguelike, and I'm going to give you a shot. Initially, it was kind of a tough sell for me because it's a game of blackjack, obviously, but it's gamified, so it's not your normal game of blackjack. It's these crazy combos, but also mixed with a little bit of Texas Hold'em style gameplay. Like, it's so you don't have your own cards. It's very it mixes a lot of elements of real card game and fake card game. So, like, that the onboarding process seemed difficult. It's like, it just seemed like it was a little deep, but it's really not that deep. It's a very simple game. And what kept me going wasn't like the big combos. It wasn't the cool cards you can get, because of course you have all of that. You know, you have your, just like if you ever play Balatro, you have your jokers that do a whole bunch of different things, but in this case it's any of the cards do all types of things. And you can upgrade cards, you can have cards with these crazy abilities, like change hands, move cards around, break cards, mend cards, destroy cards. Like, it's so many different ways to interact with your hand and the opponent's hand. And add to that, the roguelike elements aren't so demanding. You know how we play those roguelikes and it's almost impossible to win for the first 10 hours?
Yep.
This is not one of those.
That's good.
They definitely want you to win. They definitely want you to get to the story. And part of that is because the thing that sold me. So this is something a lot of these roguelikes are doing now. Shout out to Hades for making it popular. Each run you complete adds to the story. Each opponent you beat adds to their background. So you start off as this guy, and the premise is, as you said, you're trying to escape hell. But it seems like your opponents know you intimately. So it's like each time you beat them, you learn a little bit more about them. They learn a little more about you. The story starts to break, starts to trickle in. You start to realize things may not be what it seems. So I say, come for the cards, stay for the people.
So is it broken down like how Hades had like separate characters? So like, are you getting a little bit more of each character every time you go back to whatever your base is? Or is there actually like a throughput here of like, there's an end, I guess?
There's an end, both.
Interesting. Okay.
So this game has a flat out ending. And all the way through each time, like, for example, like one of the things that really kind of hooked me was when you beat certain characters, they give you their cards or their suite, if you will. So like if you play a suite against them, certain things happen. They mention you. They mention the cards, you know. There's a really cool effect where the face cards interact with each other. So I don't want to give too much away, but like there's a suite that has a king, a queen, and a jack. So, and it turns out to be the mother, the father, and the son. And if you play the father with the son card breaks. And in order to mend it, you have to use the mother card. And it's like, there's this interpersonal play happening just in the face cards alone. So if you play these cards against other people, like they mention it, and it's in kind of adds to the deeper bond. It's a really interesting game.
So I know you said the basis is blackjack, but like I'm looking at the screenshots here. This doesn't look like blackjack. So is this, I know you kind of already said it, but like Bellatro is like, yo, this is poker. But as soon as the jokers were introduced, like it's really not poker anymore. Like,
exactly. Like it's not blackjack anymore. It's just get that's two just, one, don't go over.
Right. So like that's how the hook is like, you know how to play blackjack, but I'm assuming that's just like the very base rules. It probably gets pretty crazy pretty quick.
That's the better way to explain it for sure. Cause the idea of it is, can you count to 21? Cool. Don't go over that number, you know? But they walk you in. They kind of walk you in by saying it's blackjacks, but it's really not. By the end of the game, you're playing an entirely different game.
Interesting. So, but what's the story about then? Because I'm seeing a screenshot here. The main character's name is Niv. Is that correct?
So the story is about you. You learn your name as you play the game, and the story is about you getting through hell. And is it really hell you're in, or is it just a place of? Is it more of a mental hell? Like, is it more of a physical hell? Like, it's all these types. It's more cerebral than that. So like the entire story plays out in full by the time you complete the game. Actually, before you complete the game, you kind of put the pieces together. But the premise is essentially like you're just climbing your way out of hell. You know, it's like, and by the end of it, like you kind of get the full story.
So when you say full story, is this like an inscription style story, or is this more like slay the spirit? I mean, Slay the Spire doesn't really have a story. Is it like Inscription? I guess that's the best way to say it.
It's more Inscription than Hades. Hades is you have everything laid out. You know the premise. And you're just learning more about the premise, you know? More
about the people. Okay.
Whereas this is more, you don't know where you are exactly. You don't know who this person is exactly. You don't know a lot of things, actually. And then you get these pieces of things trickling in as you beat them in certain hands and stuff.
Okay. So it seems like this is, I'm probably going to check this out because it seems like a good like lunch break game at work kind of thing.
That's exactly how I played it too.
Yeah. So, but okay. So here's the big question. And we've talked about this a long time. RNG. What's it like?
It is absolutely fair. Absolutely fair.
Are you
like,
sure?
Like, absolutely. I cannot stress enough. Like, this, I love Slay the Spire. I played a lot of Slay the Spire too. I uninstalled that game because it's just so unfair. Like, it works against you.
That sounds
like it does not want you to win. It generally does not want you to win. Like it's built into the game where it's like they want, it's this whole multiplayer aspect and you're all damaging this boss together at like, so they don't want you to break the game. This is one where you can find that combo that breaks the game and it won't stop you from doing it. It won't hinder you at all. It won't try to kneecap you in any way, shape, or form. And more importantly, you have more agency over the cards that you play. So that RNG aspect doesn't hit nearly as hard because you're not waiting for that one, those three or four cards to come through to complete that one combo that you're so used to. Once you get to pick your cards from the beginning that have certain effects, and then you can lay into those, or you can work around those. You can always build on top of whatever you have. I never had a round where I felt like the game was over immediately.
Okay, that's good to hear, because that was, I think it was Frost something.
Yeah.
Wild Frost. Yeah,
something like that.
Wild Frost.
Yeah.
That game's I enjoy a good rogue. Obviously, we enjoy roguelikes on this show, but man, like, I'm with you on Slay the Spire. Like, I have played so much Slay the Spire, but man, like, you just get bodied sometimes. Like, and it's, but like, I just,
most of the time.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And even the best Slay the Spire player, like, obviously they're gonna be better than me because they just know, the combos better than I do and stuff. But it's like, man, if you're just gonna body me every time, how am I supposed to learn? And it really sucks when you're 45 minutes into a run and it's just like, you just got really bad RNG, and like the deck that you happen to build just doesn't associate with this boss, because the bosses aren't always the same. Like, as much as I enjoy that, and it does have that carrot on a stick, and like that's fun sometimes, it's rough sometimes to keep going. Like, and I know that might be like, okay, boomer, you know, like, oh, just get over it. But it's like, no, man, like, if I'm playing 15 hours and I'm still just like getting bodied, So, and that's why I always thought the God mode in Hades was brilliant, because I think it was like 0.5% or maybe it was 0.25%. But it's like, every time you die, you get 0.5% boost in everything, and it's permanent. So like, you still have to die 40 or 50 times before you get any real benefit from that. But at least it will put you on a track to like progress. And I know some people think that's blasphemy. It's like, no, like, I don't want to, like, trust me, this isn't me being like, games are too hard. Like, I can play DMD on most Devil May Cry games, and I understand that most people will not play it that way, and you shouldn't probably play it that way, because it is unfair at times, it is annoying at times, but that's just what I enjoy. But not every game needs to be, you know, dick pinching hard, I guess.
And there's a difference between punishing and difficult.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's something. I think a younger gamer does not understand, especially a younger gamer who thinks Souls games are the best games of all time. Like, they don't understand the difference between difficult and punishing. You know, like, there's fair difficulty that test the things that the game has taught you along the way. And then there's punishing that just kicks you right in the balls. Like, this game does not kick you right in the balls. The kick in the balls Black Jacket is that initial learning curve, because in the title it's called Blackjack. You're thinking you're playing Blackjack, but like you said earlier, it's just get 21. Don't go over. And that's actually part of the instructions too, where they're just like, well, you know what? You'll pick this all up later. Just get 21. They kind of just say that in the game too. So it's like, don't stress it. Go into it with an open mind, and then also try to uncover the plot and the mystery of the game before it lays it all out to you.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to give it a shot. Sounds like you're up on it, and that's, I, you know, Vampire Crawlers was this game for me for a while, the one I was kind of playing at work. Also, that, if you have not checked out that reboot of Oregon Trail, like, super solid actually. Like,
I'm sorry,
really fun. Yeah, they did a new Oregon Trail, I think in like 2024, and I played it recently. Super, super solid. But no, so it sounds like you're high on this. You would recommend this.
Absolutely, because also the other thing too is, like, unlike a Slay the Spire or other games like it, this game ends. Like, it's like, once the game is over, it's over.
Yeah, that's really interesting actually.
So like that was one of the things I liked about it too, because it's like, it's not just this endless carry on the stick. Is like, you saw this, you climbed way out of hell. Like, you figured it out. Like, good for you. Go home.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. So that means we have two passes on this dual episode. Forza Horizon 5, you should play, as well as Black Jacket. I think this was a good combo because I think both of these games, you know what you're getting with Forza Horizon 6. It's kind of hard to talk about. Like, it's the quality has never been a problem with it. And Black Jacket, it's like, hey, it's a roguelike. So, like, it's interesting. But yeah, play both of them. I just, Forza Horizon's so good. It's that people get so upset about, like, Call of Duty and stuff like that. And it's interesting because I've read some reviews about Horizon 6 and, like, this is the last time they can do it. Like, next one's got to be a departure. And I'm like,
no, it doesn't.
Why? Yeah, why?
It doesn't.
Why does it? Like, well, it needs to be freshened up. It's like, yeah, but it's been 5 years since the last Horizon. Half a decade. So unless you've been playing Forza Horizon recently, like, I think half a decade's a pretty good, you know, time to do what works, I guess. But then we also just criticized Gears in our other episode for being too derivative. So sue us, I guess. But
it all depends. But the genre, man. Like, racing games get away with a little bit more.
Racing games, you got to race, I guess. So
gotta go fast.
I do like going fast. All right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Play for the Forza Horizon 6 or Black Jacket. Let us know what you think about either game. GPopFans@gmail.com. When it comes to the future, we've been playing some games. I'm not going to say what we have been playing simply because I always do that and then we don't talk about it. But I promise you, we are playing some games. We've already got three games for this year that you should play. So, and I think it's fair to say there's going to be more to come. So. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.